This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
What up? I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. This is the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Want to get the fans' reaction today to the big news that Luke Jokel out for the rest of the year with that high ankle fracture. Marco, is this team cursed? Things were going so well. The offense was looking good. Justin Blackmon was back. Gabbert was having a great day. Then as soon as Luke Jokel goes down, it's a whole different team.
I tell you, it's been really tough for Gus Bradley in his first season. He hasn't had an opportunity to have all his pieces in place in order to see what he's going to have going into the future. You talk about Blackmon being out, the inconsistency at a quarterback. Somebody's been, you know, Blaine's got to quit getting dinged up. And then, you know, now Jokel out, you know, Mercedes not being in.
Is God punishing us for not signing Tim Tebow?
Oh, baby. Don't start it, JG. Don't start it.
I'm joking, obviously. But, I mean, it seems like every time this team gets on a roll, something happens. You know, Blaine Gabbert gets on a roll. He gets hurt. You know, the team starts looking good. They get Blackmon back. They get all their offensive weapons back. And then Jokel goes out. They can't catch a break.
But you have to kind of look at the bright side of it. What they're going to have an opportunity to do right now is evaluate the backup tackle position. You're going to have two guys back there. You know, even if when next season when Jokel does come back, you're trying to figure out who's going to be the right tackle and who's going to be the backup and a guy that's going to swing from side to side. And with Bradfield coming in playing pretty decently at the right tackle when he was in, and then coming on the left and pretty much holding it down. I mean, it's a good evaluation tool for the scouts in order to figure out what they have going into next season as backups or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, so in a positive light, unfortunately for Jokel, but for the evaluation team, they get some good material for the rest of the season.
Is this team getting better, or is it the fact that they played a team that wasn't as good as the other teams they've been playing? I mean, I know I talked with the pregame host of the Rams radio network for our pregame show, and he was saying that the secondary was just awful because they had injuries, they're playing bad, and then, you know, you see our receivers have a good day. So is it that we're getting better, we're getting our offensive weapons back, or is it the caliber of team we're playing?
It was a little bit of both. Justin Blackmon is a good wide receiver. He is physical. You see, you know, the speed that he has. All of the defensive secondaries in the league have a lot of speed. He outran these guys, man. He was making catches where it was him and the defensive back he was covered, and he was taking the ball away. Those are the type of plays that it wouldn't have made a difference whether it was the Rams or whether it was the Denver Broncos. He was going to make those type of plays. But then when you look at some of the penalties, the turnovers, and the things of the mistakes that they made and how the Rams didn't take advantage of it, that's the difference between I guess with them playing a team that's not that good and playing a team that's really good and just getting completely thrashed when they off the mistakes that they made.
That's one thing you could say. Those penalties were dramatically cut down this week. Only four penalties, and two of those didn't even look like penalties.
Yeah,
it was the Babin one and the one on the punt return for a touchdown.
Oh, ace. I mean, but you know what? I think that return actually sparked the whole team. I mean, you know, it got all excited. Even though it was brought back, you saw that very next play when they gave Maurice the ball. He ran with, like, reckless abandon. And
he's looking back to form
as
well.
And I think Ace actually he got the tempo set, you know, with that deal. And I think it just went through the whole team. They felt like they were snubbed, which rightfully so they were, with that phantom darn block in the back. But, from that point on, man, you just saw excitement with the team, which is, again, another positive, something else to start to build on.
Yeah, the refs were not very good in this game. What was the penalty? offensive pass interference and defensive pass interference on the same people in the same play.
Wow, that was
never heard of that before in my entire life.
I mean, because you figure the second flag came late also, you know what I mean? So it was like, I don't know what the guy was like, I don't know what you call, but I got something different.
It's like the do-over play from last week where it's like, we don't know who has the ball, so the down doesn't count. We heard a whistle.
Crazy.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Taking your calls, let's go to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
John.
Pretty good. I'm just a little agitated. I mean, here's the thing. What do you guys think is setting the franchise back? Is it just quarterback play, or what do you think it is? I mean, and do you think the offensive line is the problem, or I thought we started out good today with a touchdown from Blaine to Justin Blackmon.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of all the bad drafts that we've had. I mean, how many first-round picks are with this team? Are there any left? I mean, Tyson Alualu, I think that's it.
Blaine.
But he might be gone next year. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's bad drafts is the reason why. And I think the offensive line actually played pretty well, all things considered, today.
Nah, man. I mean, the tackles did. You know, those guys that everyone had the question marks over, they were stout. Those three guys in interior, they were not playing well, specifically Wineri. He got dominated today offensively and, on the rush and versus the pass, especially during the rush. They were able to get entirely too much penetration quickly versus the rush. That's what kept Maurice from getting more yards than I think he possibly could. He could never get going. They're in the backfield too fast.
Yeah, one of the things that was actually overshadowed in this game, and Brian only had a quick second to mention it, Mojo going over 10,000 yards from scrimmage for his career this game. And not a lot to talk about because of all the injuries and the bigger news that happened, but a big shout-out to Mojo for that 10,000 yards from scrimmage.
Hey, man, MJD is good for the Jaguars, for the franchise. I mean, you know, a lot of talk about trying to trade MJD. And I think you got to keep a guy like that. And going forward for what they're trying to do, and they're building the brand more so, rebuilding it, MJD right now, you know, he's a lovable guy. You know, everyone likes MJD, and now he got stats to back it up.
You'll see, the franchise.
Yeah, he's a franchise. He's leading everybody. He'll be on that. You know, we think who is it? The quarterback is going to be. We got the Ring of Honor, I believe, in a couple of weeks. And you're going to have
Brunell.
Yeah, we can't remember his name. That's crazy. I'm sorry about that, Mark. No, we love you.
He'll be on to talk about that next Thursday as well, Jaguars Thursday every
week.
But
MJD is, you know, he's making his case to be the next one. You know, at least he's going to deserve to be in that spot soon, you know, not too long after he retires.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Ken, who's downtown. Ken, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering how long the team is going to take before they decide to pull the trigger and try to bring in a quarterback. I believe, you know, Josh Freeman's in Tampa. I mean, at least he has some type of NFL experience.
He's a free agent now.
Yeah. I mean, isn't there something that you think we should probably try to look into? Because we're making no advancements with the quarterbacks that we have right now. And I know it's not all their fault, but, I mean, their decision-making is kind of suspect.
You know, it's a great question that you bring up. Do they bring in somebody for this year to try to help the team win some games? Or do they say, you know what, we're drafting a quarterback with our first pick, so we don't want a quarterback controversy next year. We're just going to go with the guys we have for now and then address it later on next year.
I mean, I think this is a competition as to who's going to be the backup between Blaine and Henny, because next season they're going to get a quarterback. I don't think that, you know, bringing a Josh Freeman or anyone else, unless, again, you're just looking for some veteran that's going to be able to hold down the fort in the event that this the young quarterback that they bring in doesn't have as much success or isn't ready to play right at the start of the season. But, you know, I doubt very seriously that it would be anything other than a quarterback chosen in first pick of the draft next year for the Jaguars. So that's what's going to be, you know.
Yeah, and with Freeman, I mean, if you believe the stuff you read, he's had some baggage, too. Yeah. He doesn't get well with the front office.
Yeah,
you know, there's going to be a lot of baggage, a divided locker room. Maybe could be more trouble than he's worth, at least for this season. And if you're only bringing him in for this year to tutor somebody, is he going to be a great tutor if he's missing meetings and, you know, not performing, stuff like that?
Right now, it's about servicing and getting it done with what you got. And, I mean, like I said, Blaine started out, has some good throws, some bad throws. You know, just getting Blackmon back. When you get Mercedes back, if he ever comes back, you know, all of a sudden – the offense has even more firepower, and that will be the thing that propels them, I think, on going forward. It's another weapon to keep Blaine from jacking.
Yeah,
up
I think
the game.
We saw some flashes today of what this offense could really be. I mean, you've got some great players, you got some speed out there, and they could actually move the ball. You know, if you get that consistency and a quarterback staying with them, getting on the same page, because we saw the same thing with Henny. And it makes you wonder, is it the quarterbacks that are off or the wide receivers? Because Henny had some ugly-looking throws, too, and a couple of them looked like the receivers were running the wrong route. So you don't know, is it all on the quarterbacks or is it on the receivers as well?
Well, I'm going quarterbacks.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Wally in Orange Park. Wally, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Good. I wanted to talk about some of the right spots. I know we can focus in on the quarterback play and how atrocious it is, but there are some positive things about this team. For once, the defense looks like a team that's not just being like, hey, ole, you know, letting running backs just do whatever they want and letting wide receivers do what they want. Our secondary is starting to look better. Our defensive line looks better. You know, we have Ace Sanders, that punt return that he had today, even though it got called back, that was something we haven't seen in a long time here in the city.
Marco, you've been having calling that forever.
Having
wide receivers that have been able to make plays, make catches, having Justin Blackman come back, which was great to see, but also makes me really angry that he got suspended for the first four games. I mean, it's a little ridiculous, but still, it's like there are some positive things, and you can see there, it's slow and it's small, but there's growth happening. It's going to be a long season, but I mean, you can see the positive things here, and I'm upset. I'm mad right now about the way the team performed, especially with a game that they were still in late. But there's some things that are coming together, and as the season continues to roll along, you know, you're seeing positive progression, and you know, we can always focus in on the bad things, but I mean, how productive is that?
Exactly. I mean, there were a lot of positives. You know, the offense had spurts where they did look pretty mm-hmm. good. You know, the defense looked pretty good. Special team, I got to hand it to the special teams coordinator. I mean, I think this special teams is probably the best facet of the game that we have right now. You know, their second block punt or third block punt this year. You know, the punt return, even though it was called back. And
Tomlin had to set them up with a nice return, too, on the kickoff.
Special teams is looking good.
Yeah, special teams are a big deal. You know, defensively, they did look better. Like I said, the energy level, getting to the ball, and I made comment of that earlier, they did look better in that approach. A lot of guys around that football when they throw those screens, I mean, you saw 11 hats, you know, pretty much right there at that ball. The only thing that they didn't do was get the turnovers that they had been getting. And then, you know, it's just the next phase of it, being able to stop a team, you know, with the game on the line. You know, that's you know, of course, something they'll continue to work on. And when you have a secondary that's young and a lot of people trying to work it in and get together, and until they get the players they want, you know, there's some stuff to be patient about. But it's, like you said, it's some good stuff, too. Some good stuff.
Yep, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming right back, taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Especially on that Luke Joeckel injury, out for the year. Coming right back, taking your calls on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. The big news, Luke Joeckel, high ankle fracture, done for the season. And Blaine Gabbert with the hamstring strain. Coach Gus Bradley didn't say if he's going to be out this week, if he's not, how long he could be out. I guess you just got to see and how much it flares up during the week.
Man, his MO is that he's kind of, you know, he's soft, you know, and he's continued those small injuries. My hand, my hamstring, my ankle. It's just, it's continuous. It is not helping his whole persona, you know. At some point, he's, you know, and that's one of the things, you build a reputation. You know, when you get injured a lot, they don't want to deal with
you. He was always soft, and he's like, no, I'm not soft. I'm tough. I can take the hit.
Yeah, you can't be on the sideline, especially, you know, you get a reputation of staying injured, and it's hard to stay in the league if you have that type of reputation.
355-NFL1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Jay in Fleming Island. Jay, how you doing, man?
I'm a Jaguar fan. How do you think I'm doing
probably here today? Hey, you could have Tom Coughlin right now. You'd still be winless.
Hey, that's the way it goes. Can't win them all. Hey, look, I know how to fix Blaine Gabbert.
All right, how do you fix him?
Sports psychologist.
You know, that's getting more and more popular now.
Well, John Smoltz, when he was with Atlanta, you know, he obviously had the tools, and I think a lot of people looked at Gabbert when he was drafted and said, you know, he's got the tools. The Jaguars are hanging with him. They believe in him. He must be practicing well. But when he goes out there, things don't go well. I don't know. What do you think?
Or maybe a hypnotist. You are Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, at this point, why not? I think that the NFL eventually will have a sports psychologist on every team. I don't know if the Jaguars do or not.
Man, you either can play or you can't in this game. And, you know,
But you know it's true. It's mental.
It is mental, but you also have to have some physical capabilities. And, you know, he has some. They're very inconsistent. And I'm not sure if a psychologist is going to actually make that big of a difference. I mean, it is what it is, man.
It would make sense. I mean, the dude's been getting pounded on for three straight years every time he releases the ball. I'd be a little afraid going out there, too. These big guys trying to take my head off.
Hey, man. It's only so much you can do. It's either you got it or you don't. And, you know, for him, it's staying on the field. You know, that is contributing to him not being able to progress as a passer, is his limited time on the field. He continues to spend time in the tub on the sideline. So until he can get out there and play consistently, he can't work through and get the reps to recognize.
Receivers on the same page. None of that.
There's just nothing you can do. So you got to be on the field in order to get better.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to Wayne on the north side. Wayne, how you doing, man?
All right, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
You're good.
Yeah, it is just my opinion. I wouldn't care if we had Lynn Swan, Michael Irvin, and Hines Ward at wide receiver. Blaine Gabbert still sucks 3 years straight.
I think that was the most random list of names I've ever heard in my life.
He went for you went and grabbed the best of the best, though.
Yeah, he didn't go Jerry Rice, like, you know, the names that come out obvious. He went old school there to prove there's some knowledge.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Jerry Rice. I wouldn't even put that on his Hall of Fame like that. He's just destroyed Jerry Rice, man. But it's so crazy. He should have just left out the door along with Gene Smith and Mike Mularkey, man. That guy there sucks. But other than that, I don't understand the play calling on the goal line when he already messed up a throw to Justin Blackmon, and then Gus Bradley goes at it again with a pass play, and it just doesn't make any sense. So with the first pick, what they need to do is go after the quarterback or after Jadeveon Clowney, and I'll listen to you out there.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, you would think you're on the goal line. They had, what, five shots to get it
five
in?
Five shots from inside the five-yard line.
Why aren't you giving it to Maurice three of those?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to think it was pretty – I don't even – how many passes did they throw in? Let me check to see how many passes they actually threw on their drive. It wasn't many. I mean, how many runs they had. It was only maybe two runs out of the whole deal. It may have been all passes.
We'll have to look that
up.
Yeah,
I'll definitely
drives.
Get that for you. But, yeah, man, that was inside the five. You had five tries. And not to be able to get in. And then ended with an interception. And I have to agree. You got one of the best running backs in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you not give him several opportunities to get it in from the five. Yeah, you got to question that.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to George on the beaches. George, how you doing?
Good. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. I got to agree with what you said a few minutes ago. If you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. And I hate to say, you know, it's a tough game to play. Not everybody does it, but he doesn't have it. You know, 3 years running. Granted, everybody brings up the excuse, three different coordinators, but come on, something's got to give here. And the only good stat he's got is he's tied with Matt Schaub, three pick sixes in the past several games.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's getting in there and having the reps, you know, making these mistakes and getting on past them. So here it is. You've had this game. You had the bad experiences, and now you're back on the sideline again. You know, you're not growing. You can't grow unless you play, regardless of what kind of psychiatrist you may have. You gotta get the reps and you gotta play. And if you're always complaining about you got a ding here, ding there, then you're done.
And I think we saw today he can't complain that he doesn't have the weapons around him. I mean, he's got a great running back and a couple speedy, great wide receivers. Well, I wouldn't know, maybe it wouldn't say great, but they're getting open this week. And Blaine's missing badly. And like I was bringing up earlier, I don't know if it's the receivers and him are not on the same page for him playing, or he's just making horrible throws.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, you figure you had that bomb to Blackmon. He makes an outstanding play. Then the next thing you know, you throw the ball right away to somebody. You know, that inconsistency. But at the same time, like I said, it's repetition. So for him to see a lot of those plays, have those experiences, and get on by him. You know, you had him. And now you're going to be on the sideline, because I wouldn't doubt Henny starting next week. I mean, what do you got to lose? Why play Gabbert? He turns the ball over, always injured. At least you know Henny will stand there and take a licking and keep on ticking.
And what does it say about Denard Robinson that they're running a read option with Blaine Gabbert? You know, I mean, you would think he's a perfect guy to go in there, and they're not going to him. Did he even play today?
I don't think he got. Well, I saw him on special teams. I believe he went down on the punt return, well, punt coverage. So, you know, as far as, you know, handling the ball, not at all. No. So they just don't have any confidence, and he hasn't shown shown them anything different, you know, especially in game time.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to JP in Atlanta. JP, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey there, JP.
First, I appreciate you guys making commentary after every game. I mean, you guys do a great job.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
But what I wanted to say, I wanted to touch a little bit on Blaine Gabbert. So, coming out of college, everybody knew he had the arm. Everybody knew he was, you know, smart. But the guy, he has zero pocket presence. I mean, it's just not, I watch him every Sunday. He just doesn't have it. And I don't think he's ever going to be that guy. I don't know how you teach pocket presence. I mean, he just looks lost back there.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of that has to go with, you know, him getting run over the first 3 years of his career almost every single game. So I'm sure that goes into it. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If, you know, you're out there looking shell-shocked or you're running out of the pocket, even though the pocket's decent, then, yeah, you're going to have issues.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to say is I'm okay with – I mean, I know everybody's talking about, you know, why isn't Caldwell doing anything to try to improve the roster as far as quarterback. I'm okay with Blaine Gabbert starting if that's going to get us Teddy Bridgewater. I'll take my
stuff there. Yeah, I think a lot of people have that same attitude. And, you know, a lot of people could have. I mean, if the Jags would have won this, they would have been tied with St. Louis for the same record. St. Louis isn't looking too good this year. This goes a long way to getting that number one draft pick by losing this game. So, like you said, Marco, earlier, always got to look at the positives, look at the silver linings. There's one of them. Now you got the inside track over the Rams. You got the inside track over Oakland. So we're doing all right in that aspect, at least.
Yeah, it's a process that's taking place. They're building a team, getting the guys that they want in here. You figure by getting, I mean, you know, we talked about it, I believe, last week about making a blockbuster type of trade. It might come out that, you know, by getting rid of Eugene Monroe, getting those two extra picks, you figure in the fourth and fifth round, which you got two dynamic players in college football with A. Sanders and Denard Robinson this year, you know, you figure you take a chance if you get two guys like that again next year. You know, as a matter of fact, I think you got maybe three fifth-round picks. You'll probably have two fourth-round picks.
Use a couple of those leverage, move back up a little bit.
I think right now they stockpile some picks, and they can go and do a good job in the draft. Hey, at least it could be more fun to watch.
Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Continue with your calls. Lines are jammed again tonight, but try and call in 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Right back with more of the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Yes, after another lost by the Jaguars, 34-20 this time to the Rams. Five straight games of double-digit losses. The phone lines are lit up. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Everybody wants to join in. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. And we're going to bring in Tim from Orange Park. Tim, how you doing, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. As bad as we are, and we are bad, otherwise we wouldn't be 0-5, why can't we just bring some of our practice squad players in and up and let them play and see how they would do? We may have some future players in it. And I'll hang up and take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, one thing you got to realize, Tim, is it's not like the minor leagues in baseball. You know, these practice squad are guys that weren't good enough to make the team, and they bring them on the practice squad because maybe they have some potential in the future. Another thing you want to look at, too, is if you're building for the future, you have to know who your guys are that you're going with for the future. So, you know, guys that are playing that are rookies now, you know, rookies in the secondary, some of the young guys, like even Blaine Gabbert. The reason they're playing them is because they want to find out if they have what it takes, or is that something they're going to be looking at in the draft or in free agency this offseason?
Yeah, they're playing the guys that they're looking at for the future, whether it be a young guy. If it was a young guy that was on the practice squad, they think the world, you know, has grown at this point to become they want to see out there that has the potential, then they'll put them out there. But I'm sure what's taking place is part of the plan and the decision-making that – You know, the Caldwell and those guys are making it. You know, you figure this is they're molding a piece of clay right now, and it's at its ugliest, muckiest stage right now. And so during the course of this molding, you know, we're going to throw in, you might poke a hole here and bring something in there, add something here, take it away. So I think, you know, during the course of the season, you may see a whole bunch, because they're bringing a lot of guys in off the street and giving them and working them out as free agents.
And you know what? Blackman turned out to be pretty good. Will Blackman. Just Blackman too, but he's, you know, he's always been here. But you know,
so
guys
are,
like,
so
Will
they are
Blackman
actually bringing
good
in guys. You know, not necessarily.
You know,
they
just picked up another guy from Seattle this week, a linebacker. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're bringing in guys, and you know, the practice.
And the defensive lineman Jones that was out there. I think they just brought him in.
Yeah, that's the thing you got to realize. Practice squad's not like the minor leagues where it's like, yeah, guys having a great year and they're bringing them up. Those are usually guys that are either going to take a little bit longer to develop, or guys that, you know, you keep around just because you need the bodies, really. And they weren't good enough to make the team, or they'd be on the team. So you know, there's a couple things there. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Chris in Ponte Vedra. Chris, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys, good. First of all, I love you, Marco, but I got to give you a hard time. You cannot forget Mark Brunell's name.
Mark is a good friend of mine, too. I don't know how I messed around, but that's because he's a quarterback at the same time.
I know that.
But
he's a
real good friend of mine. Yeah. You're right, though. I can't. Mark is the man. He's the man.
One thing about Mark, he played and he played and he kept playing. He never got hurt. Blaine gets hurt every game. It's just not right.
You're right. And it's hard to have success.
I saw him on the first play grab the back of his hamstring there, or his glute or whatever, and I said to my wife, I said, right there, he's already acting hurt, and you just knew it was a matter of time.
Yeah, and that affects your ability to stay in the league a long time. You know, you get that reputation of being injured, and it's been going on since he's been here. He hasn't been able to put together, I don't think he's played more than four games in a row before he's had to sit down. So that is definitely an issue. And something you figure next season when they're evaluating and they bring in this young quarterback, when they talk about a backup, they want someone that's going to be there and be able to sustain.
Yeah, and a lot of genetics go into this. I mean, you have to have good genetics to be a football player together. But then again, you have it on the opposite end where some guys are just more injury prone. I mean, whether it's bad luck or whether it's, you know, you just don't have the same type of frame that
your
can
body
sustain
just
a 16.
Just can't handle this sport.
And the offensive line, you know, for years that were getting him hit on almost every play, that doesn't help either.
Yeah.
You know, they take their toll, these hits.
And right now, when you're missing you got backup offensive tackles, and you're going to face a stout Denver defense, a stout Charger defense, you're going to need a durable quarterback.
Talk about bad luck. I mean, you make a trade of one of your staples there at offensive tackle in Eugene Monroe. You send him out.
Yeah.
3 days later, your number one draft pick, who's replacing him, is out, and now you're down to two backups. I mean, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but I think people would have known now what they knew then, Eugene Monroe would
still be here. I
don't
know, man, because it still gives them the opportunity to do what they wanted to do, is evaluate Bradfield and Pat Short. You know, those two guys, they were rotating at the right side during the course of the game, and all it did was actually give more reps to Bradfield for them to evaluate as to who's going to be that guy, you know, probably, you know, for next season. You know, so I think, although it was bad, definitely having Joko out, it definitely, as the for evaluating those two guys, I think this, you know, it couldn't have, I won't say a good situation, but it's not bad.
Let's go to Kevin in McClenny at 355-NFL-1. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a shame that Joko is out. But I have a question regarding the trade with Eugene Monroe. I mean, I think he was going to go into free agency. But, you know, Baltimore won the Super Bowl last year. Their pick is going to be way down there. Should they have tried to get a 3 and a 4 as opposed to a 4 and a 5?
I mean, yeah, obviously they should have got a 1. He was a 1. He should have got a 1. It just doesn't work out that way sometimes. And if you're looking at a guy walking, getting anything is better than getting nothing.
Yeah, you know.
I agree with that, but I thought they'd get a little bit better than that. Some people thought we'd, you know, get a 2 and a 3. I don't think that's the case, because they would have just held out.
Yeah. Well, what you heard too, you know, comments from Caldwell was that it was a relationship building type of deal made between him and the Jaguars and the Baltimore Ravens going forward. For maybe sometime in the future, they'll get a little love in some type of trade of this fashion. I think it probably was a little low, but at the same time, you got to look at what the Jaguars were able to find in this draft in the fourth and fifth round. You had two dynamic college football players in Ace Sanders and Denard Robinson. If you can find those guys again, if they fall in that position, I mean, you look rosy. And, you know, you figure at the end of the season, Maurice Monroe was going to go out anyway as a free agent possibly, and you wouldn't have got anything at all. It just would have been him departing. Here you picked up an extra couple draft picks, you know, and that's doing it. It definitely helped the team.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at it, this is more the norm in the NFL than anything else. I mean, granted, you do get those, you know, number one draft picks traded at number two every once in a while, you know, but we hear about those more often. The norm really is a guy like a Eugene Monroe. Big name guys will sometimes only go for a fifth or sixth round pick just because they're either going to be a free agent or they're near the end of their career. And this is more the norm than the exception. And I know we hear about, you know, Trent Richardson going for a number one. It's like, why couldn't we have done that with Maurice Jones-Drew?
And if you look at it, it's cheaper for the Jaguars. You know, you don't pay a first and second rounder as much as you're going to pay a fourth and fifth rounder. And in all actuality, when you're drafting a guy, and of course you expect the first and second rounders to be better, But the reality of it is, there's a whole lot of guys in the fourth, fifth, matter of fact, unrestricted free agents, right, that are, you know, Pro Bowl players. You know, when you're drafting a rookie, you don't know.
Yeah, watch Monday Night Football
tonight.
You just
don't know.
And when they do the announcements of the guys and they say what school they're from, you're going to find schools you've never even heard of, and they're starting on defense,
starting
on offense.
It's a bunch of guys that are starting in the NFL right now that were in that fourth, fifth, sixth, undrafted, and are contributing, major contributors to those teams. And so a lot of guys in that first, second, third round that are out of the league that were busts.
Yep.
Blank Gabbert.
Let's go to Kevin in Savannah. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to echo the sentiments of the caller that brought up the old school receivers. I mean, Blaine Gabbert has had 3 years to show some progress, and he hasn't shown any. In fact, he may have regressed a little bit. And I mean, for you to say that maybe it's because he's been had a terrible rush against him, I mean, come on. That's baloney, and it's a disservice to our fans and everyone else. I also think it's a disservice to the players to throw Blaine out there. I mean, they want to win the game. I think Henny gives them the best chance. I don't know what they're trying to do. Are they trying to showcase him, to trade him? If that's the case, then they're blowing it. They need to put him on the bench and see if they can get something for him. One more thing, the play calling, a little better. But, you know, when it's 5 minutes to go, when you're down by 14 and it's second and five from your own 25-yard line, you don't run the ball. I mean, you don't have time. You've got to score. You've got first and five. One time we had first and goal from the 5-yard line. We've been running the ball, and then he starts throwing the ball. It just doesn't make sense. So there's a lot there, but thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Yeah, we were talking about that in the break.
Yeah.
About five passing
five
plays.
Passes.
One of them was a rush from
to Gabbert. You had Maurice Jones-Drew on the 4-yard line as a lead blocker.
And after you had a pass interference play, you get the ball on the one, first and goal from the one. How are you not giving it to Maurice Jones-Drew?
So Maurice Jones-Drew is one of the top rushers in the history of the Jaguars. You're inside the 5-yard line. You end up having five shots, and he did not get an opportunity to score for your team. I mean, that was a very poor choice of play calling.
Gus would say the same thing. I mean, looking back at it, I'm sure when he talks about it, he's going to say, yeah, you know what, I should have given him the ball. Or maybe there's a reason behind it. You know, maybe just the front, maybe he was planning on it and Blaine Gabbert checked out of it. I wasn't watching. You got to look at the game film to see what was actually going
inside
on.
Inside the five, even if it was just, you know, it just had just your normal progression of downs, 1, 2, 3, and then 4. You got to give Maurice at least 2 shots before you concede to throwing the ball to a bunch of guys that have never made it to the Pro Bowl, that aren't a franchise leader in their stats. I mean, you put the ball in a scoring position in the hands of guys that they're, you know, a very high likelihood that they're not going to get it done. So that was, I had to agree, a poor decision.
355-NFL1, 355-6351 is the number to call in. Phone lines are jammed. We're going to try to get to everybody tonight, but you know, sometimes you just don't know how to have time. You're listening to Scoreboard Show, and it's brought to you by Presentation Resorts Incorporated. Right back after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple Whiskey. Started maple finished. Taking your calls 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We got to go to Calvin because Calvin's been waiting patiently in his car in the Publix parking lot, waiting to go in. Dinner's going to be late because he's listening to the show. Thanks for listening in, Calvin.
Oh, thank you.
Hey,
yeah, I had two questions. First of all, the referee calling I felt was horrendous against the Jaguars. You have the play for us that was the pass interference or the double pass interference in the end zone that would have given us first and goal when Coach John Bradley decided to take the field goal off the scoreboard.
Yep.
The replay clearly showed that our tight end was trying to get away, Holder was trying to get away, and they called double pass interference. I felt that was a horrible call. And then you have Blaine Gabbert that scrambled, and he fell a little short of the first time. He slid down, didn't go ahead first, and he got pummeled by the Rams defender. They didn't even call roughness answer or late hit on against just a defender for the Rams. I felt that was a bad call. And then they called pass interference on Will Blackman, which I felt that wasn't a pass interference call. So I wanted to get your take on the referee calling. And I just to follow up with one of the other callers said earlier about Blaine Gabbert. I just haven't seen really any progression. I mean, he'll make a couple of good throws and then he'll make a bonehead play, but he overthrew Blackman on offense, that where they ran the ball back for a touchdown. That was an unexcusable throw. And then the when Blackman was wide open in the end zone, he actually overthrew Blackman when they got down there in the red zone. So I just wanted to get your take on that. And I'm not sure how long Blaine Gabbert is going to be out, but it may be best that he stays out indefinitely, you know, because I feel like the early caller said that Chattin gave us the best chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff to digest there. I have to say the refs were horrible, but they were horrible on both sides. I mean, we watched a play in here where it was a wide receiver screen, and I think it was Cecil Shorts, or was it Ace Sanders, that actually literally grabbed the guy, pulled him away to break that out, and they didn't call that either. So it was bad on both sides. Plus, they're, you know, talking about extra points when they're really field goals. I mean, these refs were just bad all
around.
It must have been like the E crew. Not the B, C, or D. It was the E crew.
it was not a good day for them at all. I have to agree. And you know, like you said, the direction as far as with the quarterback, it is what it is. It's going to be one of those two guys all season long.
I mean, neither of them are giving us a good chance to win now. Because
it's a foregone conclusion that a quarterback is in the horizon for next season. You know, that's just it. And what's here is what's here. And they may, if they bring another quarterback, they may want to look at as far as going to be a backup. Because that's what it is. They're competing to see. Unless, you know, a quarterback, you know, unless Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or somebody like that comes available, it is what it is for this season.
These guys are blowing me away. So neither, I mean, if they're so close, it's really, it's, you know, it doesn't really matter who plays if they're not going to get us those big wins. And I don't think either quarterback is doing anything to show that they're the guy to be in the driver's seat.
But the thing that's going to help them is getting the running game going. You know, right now, offensive line wise, they're not getting any push. They're getting dominated. You saw Maurice run better. But if they can get the running game going, that would take some pressure off of these quarterbacks. Right now, everything is completely contingent on them being able to make plays, and they just don't have that ability.
Next week, they have to run the ball. I mean, they got to have, you know, drives of 10 minutes and longer, keeping Peyton Manning off the field. Because, you know, we're sitting here in breaks watching Denver. They were down 14-0, and in the blink of an eye, they're already up 11. I mean, they can score at will. So you got to have long, sustained drives that result in touchdowns next week,
or
you just have no chance at all against Peyton Manning and the video game that is the Denver Broncos. It looks like they're playing Madden out there. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to CJ. CJ, how you doing, man?
Well, hello there, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to let you know Brunel is the name of that quarterback you forgot, Marco. I heard that earlier.
I'm going to get killed with that one. As soon as I see Mark, I'm going to have to apologize to him personally for that one.
Don't worry. During the break, I'm going to make Mark all right, Mark Brunel on the blackboard 100 times out here.
Man, that was ridiculous on my part. I got the personal foul on him.
Well, it's somewhat understandable.
These quarterbacks that are in there right now just have me so flustered about a quarterback. It's just I just don't want to get Mark's I don't want to get Mark's name associated with what's taking place right now. That's for sure.
That is for sure. Okay, first off, I just want to let you know that I'm not actually a Jaguar fan, although I live here in Jacksonville. I've been here for many years. I am a Titans fan. However, I've been following the Jaguars also. For quite a while. As a matter of fact, I was living in the New Jersey area, and they show a lot of Giants games. And also on the news, they had a lot about the Jaguars when they were first starting out. I knew they were going to be good pretty much right from the start, because Coughlin had the boys out there doing those 3-a-days out in that 97-degree weather. And I said, well, they're going to get pretty good pretty fast.
Yeah.
And I guess the fans here kind of got used to the winning ways early on.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let the fans know you have to stick with your team, you know? Going through adversity is something that happens to almost any football franchise. Again, I'm a Titans fan. I was a Houston Oilers fan before that. And we had a couple of lean years, even with Warren Moon there. I think we won one year where we only won 2 games for the whole year. So it's something that you just have to stick with and be patient with and, you know, try to follow the guys and support them.
Yeah, great points. I mean, I hope the fans see that, you know, they are building and there's some bright spots in these games. that everyone can see. You know, they see what happens when Justin Blackmon and Cecil Shorts are on the same field at the same time. Maurice Jones-Drew's getting back to form. You know, if one of these quarterbacks can get it into gear, it can have a nice high-powered offense around here.
Mm-hmm. You got to give the general manager an opportunity to go ahead and get his team and Gus Bradley's team out there. He just got hired in January of this year, so you figure there's a whole lot of parts that are being turned around in order to get them in the place where the plan that they have laid out is operable, I guess, operable. So you figure they got some work to do, but patience is definitely in order.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. One segment left here on the Scoreboard Show. We're going to try to get as many calls as we can. The phone lines are jammed. Thanks for listening to the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. It is brought to you by Bueller Switch Watch Company. They're proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Switch Watches are available at Allen's Jewelry in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center, obviously in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Thomas on the west side. Thomas, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. How about you?
Good, Thomas.
I got to say, the thing that I'm very encouraged by the young guys, not so much, you know, the kind of the holdovers from the Gene Smith era and that, but this last draft class that we had, and I'd like to see them, and of course, not at the sake of, you know, a veteran and things like that, but eventually getting, you know, more playing time as, you know, maybe things go and they realize, okay, you know, we're really not going anywhere. Let's go ahead and you know, evaluate these guys in real game situations, not kind of the stopgap veterans like what they brought in at the beginning of the season. And the last kind of point that I wanted to make is the thing that kind of gets me when people talk about our quarterback situation. I don't think any quarterback on the roster gives us the best chance to win, but what I'd like to see is the quarterback play that gives our young guys the best chance to develop. Because I honestly don't believe that our quarterback.
Looks like we lost him. Yeah, I mean, he's making a great point where you want to give the young guys the best chance to develop, assuming that both these quarterbacks might not be on the roster next year. So, yeah, I mean, makes a lot of sense. And talking about the young guys, I mean, Ace Sanders looked great in punt returns, especially that one that got called back. Todman, another young guy, averaging 32 yards on his kick returns. Cyprian, 13 tackles today. These young guys do look pretty good.
They do, but you got to consider now a couple of those young guys are holdovers. Cecil Shorts, Justin Blackmon, Will Rackley, Cameron Bradfield came in with an old regime. It's, you know, how they've nitpicked and picked the players that fit what they want to do that show the most potential. You know, so there's a few guys that are still hanging around from the last regime, but, you know, but the youth, definitely. I think the Jags are the fifth youngest team in the league. It's definitely promising when you look at those guys, those young guys, and what the future may hold for them.
Yeah, I think this future can be pretty bright as long as these guys can stick around and, you know, we get somebody that's throwing them the ball great. And then if Maurice Jones-Drew's gone, maybe get another running back that's, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew type, but just younger, because if he's gone, then one less guy to rely on.
Well, you know, if they can just get some blocking up front, you know, I don't think it made a difference as to who was the running back today. Too much penetration in that interior part of between the two guards. They just, you know, it was the interior offensive line did not have a good day, allowed way too much quick penetration to prevent any type of successful running game. I like Todman. I think Todman brings a different element.
Pace.
Yeah, you know, but you got to get some blocking. You know, that's the key to it, and they didn't have it at all today.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Go to Saqib. How you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
I'm good. I went to Tallahassee to see my Florida State play for the first time, so that was good to see my Florida State one.
Yeah, nice
week.
To see one team blowing out the other, and it's a
wow,
team you're rooting for.
That was a game. I went to third quarter because I got back to Jacksonville. It was incredible. But let me just say this. My thing is with the Jags is once we cannot keep stepping on brakes. We got to keep going on stepping on that gas. Once we get that lead, you know, keep going. And Blaine Gabbert just overthrew that on the interception. He overthrew Justin Blackmon, I believe it was, 20 yards. And that's why it was intercepted. He's not consistent. He's not, like, doing it back-to-back. And he's not there. I'm tired of hearing him having good practice, good this, good this. I'm tired of hearing that. And another thing is, for next week, for Denver game, All I want to see is, again, build on what we had today. Please, I'm begging the guys, don't get blown out next week. You know what I mean?
Everybody's been getting blown out by Denver. I think it could be a foregone conclusion. It doesn't matter if you're the Jaguars or if you're Kansas City or everybody's getting blown out.
I don't know about Kansas City, baby. I think I'm taking Kansas City against Denver. I'm taking Kansas City over Denver.
Really?
Yeah, I got that. In Kansas City. They're going to play twice. So I got the Kansas City, Denver in Kansas City. I'm going Kansas City.
We'll talk about that a little more off the air. I think I'll take you up on that one.
I'm taking Kansas City at home.
I mean, next week we're talking about it's going to be a rough one, and it's nothing to do with the Jaguars, but we've seen them not be able to compete with certain teams that have more talent than them. Denver is blowing everyone away. It doesn't matter what the other teams have on their talent, good teams, bad team, they are blowing everyone out of the water. And, you know, I've been watching Denver. They've had the late game, and we've had it on while we're on the air the past 2 weeks in a row. And it seems like they struggle a little bit early on. That first, second quarter, the game's tight, and then they just turn on the gas and blow teams out of the water. So, I mean, we could see, you know, the Jaguars maybe be tied with them 7-7 in the first quarter, but then Denver just got a whole another gear that they go into, and it has nothing to do with the Jaguars. They are just that good.
Yeah, and it's really not even – you know, just the Broncos, you figure they played the Chiefs, they played Seattle, Indianapolis, teams that are just in a different place. They're expected to move on or look to be teams that'll be hanging around in the postseason. The Jaguars, we knew they just weren't that team coming into the season. So the expectations, I believe, should not be so much about getting blown out and all those different things, but the improvement of the young guys. Actually, you know, given an opportunity for them to watch film next week and see how it's done. You get to see a Hall of Fame quarterback go at it, some really good secondary guys. You got some wide receivers for those young guys, you know, to see how they get things done. It's a good opportunity to play against one of the finer teams in the NFL and use it almost as a coaching tool going forward to help them in their maturity.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be really interesting to hear tomorrow, as our last caller was saying, you know, as Aqib said, you know, Blaine Gabbert overthrowing guys by 20 yards. I want to hear from the guys on Jaguars Monday when they come up at 6 o'clock right here on WOKV. What they saw in the game film, whether it was Gabbert that is just overthrowing badly and there's no excuse, or if it's the receivers running the wrong route, if these guys aren't on the same page, I'll be really interested to hear that, because that's going to be huge going with Denver. You can't go 3-and-out with Denver. You got to get guys on the same page. Whoever the quarterback is next week have to be on the same page. We can't have these 20-yard, you know, overthrows, one guy stopping in and then, you know, somebody else throwing it deep. Just can't have it, especially against Denver.
Anybody, but it's going to be – it can – you know, that's the difference between this game and why they didn't get blown out, is because the team that they played wasn't that good also. So,
one guarantee, though, we'll be here next week to talk about it. Yes, and sir, we'll be taking your calls. Another late one for us. So you guys are going to have to call in. If you want to bring some food over for us down at the stadium, if you want to bring some nice drinks to help keep us up, we're always all about it. Come on down to the stadium next week. I have a feeling it's going to be a long night. But thanks for everybody listening into the Scoreboard Show. We're back here every week about an hour after the game ends. We are talking to you on the line, and we're taking calls, questions, everything in between. Gotta thank everybody for listening. Check us out on Twitter as well. I'm JGray_WOKV. Marco, what are you on there as well?
NBC Live.
Have you tweeted yet?
I have yet to tweet.
But follow him anyway, just so you could say you followed Marco. Eventually, he'll throw out that one tweet.
I'm working on it, man. I got to take baby steps. I'm a lot like the Jaguars right now.
I'm rebuilding your Twitter. Thanks for listening to us. Back again next week with the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.